Yeah. It's Mr. Encore. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Check. Fantasy Sports and Politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, log on. Peace.
Hello, everyone, and welcome once again. We're back. I know we haven't been on for a few weeks, but we're back and live and kicking, refreshed, I would say. Sorry for not being on in the last few weeks, but like I said, we're back. I am JT, a.k.a. The Master, and I'm joined by my esteemed co-host, Jeff the Joker, and we make up the FSP Cruise Show. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. I'll run that back to you again. 347-637-3220 is the place to be, and you heard this before. If you want to talk to Jeff and me, we got a great show in store for you. Tonight, talking a lot of basketball tonight. There's a lot of things on the plate about basketball, and some controversy, and a few things that are controversial. In fact, a lot of them in men and women's sports, in basketball, men and women's basketball, I should say. We also have a chat room. If you want to jump up in that chat room, you can join us there. Make a statement or a comment in that chat room, or a question. If you want to ask that, you can do that in that chat room. What you put into it is what you're going to get out of it. Anyway, without further ado, let me bring my esteemed co-host, my fellow Jersey guy. He's heard this before, and I say it all the time. Two double J's from the state of Jersey. What's up, Jeff? Jeff, are you there? Hello? I am not getting Jeff. Jeff, are you there? I'm not getting Jeff. Anyway, hopefully Jeff will call back in and we'll get him on the line. Got some technical difficulties. I apologize, people, for not being on Sunday. Technical difficulties we had on Saturday, and quite naturally, the FSP show did not go on as scheduled. That was due to Block Talk Radio. It wasn't due to on our side. And Sunday being Easter, I wasn't able to get on, and but we're on now. And hopefully I can bring up my boy, Jeff. What's up, Jeff?
Heard you missed us. We're back.
There he is, my fellow Jersey guy. How you doing, man?
All right. How about you?
Not bad. Jeff, I'm going to take a moment out. And thank you for when you called me and with the issue that was going on. I happened to be sitting next to my better half, and you know where I was. And I really appreciate the phone call and the support that you gave me at that time. I just want to say that right off the bat.
That could do.
Everything is cool now. She's smiling, I'm smiling, everything's good. So I just really appreciate that. It caught me off guard. I was surprised, but I appreciate the phone call.
My pleasure. I mean, I'm glad I was able to help, you know, so.
Yep. Hey, okay, Jeff. Now, today, for the most of the hour that we've been sitting here, depending on how long this goes, we're going to be talking about men's and women's basketball. And to tell you the truth, you know, I think this is a short subject, and nothing to disparage women's basketball, but I'll hit that first, because in the women's basketball now, into the NCAA tournament, the University of UConn's women's basketball team has been nothing short, and I can't even think of a get a stronger word or think of a stronger word. I wish I could. Nothing short of dominant, and that's really selling them short. When they're able to win, I think the average score they've been winning by up until this point is, I think, about 40 points, if I'm not mistaken. I think that's around the average. I could be off maybe 10 or so points, but I think the average, they've been winning by 40 points. Now, this is supposed to be the best women's basketball teams in the land. I don't know if women's UConn's bracket was a soft bracket, or it's just the fact is that UConn women's basketball team is so dominant and on such a roll, and they've been undefeated for forever, that who knows what's going to happen. I think they play Oregon, if I'm not mistaken, which is the number two seed in the because they're in the Final Four. And Washington, the seventh seed, plays – oh, my God. What is it? Washington, the seventh seed, plays – hold on a minute. I had it up here. Let me bring it back again. Plays – come on. Come on. Final Four. Washington State plays the Syracuse. I'm sorry, Syracuse. That's right. They play number four Syracuse in the other bracket in the Final Four. UConn's the number one seed. Oregon's the number two seed from their respective brackets. And I don't know what's going to be a better game, 1 and 2 with UConn and Oregon, or Washington State and Syracuse. But that's not the reason why I'm bringing it up. Dan O'Shaughnessy, a reporter out of Boston for a Boston newspaper, said for all intents and purposes, watching women's basketball when it has to do with UConn is a waste of time. And it's UConn basically is bad for the game, because bad for women's basketball game. I'm going to play a clip. It's about a 3-minute clip of a interview or whatever from Gino Uriyama, who is the coach of the UConn Husky women's basketball team. And then I'm going to get back to you, Jeff, and get your comments on what he said, and your thoughts overall.
A national sports writer who noted the score in UConn's win and then said, "Hate to punish them for being great, but they are killing the women's game. Watch? No thanks." How often do you run into that idea that UConn's success...
Who said that?
Shaughnessy.
Yeah.
That UConn's success...
He has a lot of comments.
Could be killing the game.
From up in Boston. My question is, don't watch. Don't watch. Nobody's putting a gun to your head to watch. So don't watch. And don't write about it. Spend your time on things that you think are important. If you don't think this is important, don't pay any attention to it. The fact that you have to comment on it says something about you, doesn't it? We are what we are. We are what we are. You know? We do what we do. You know, we do what we do. When Tiger was winning every major, nobody said he was bad for golf. Actually, he did a lot for golf. He made everybody have to be a better golfer. And they did. And now there's a lot more great golfers because of Tiger. So there's a lot better writers than Dan Shaughnessy. But that doesn't mean he's bad for the game.
I don't know if you heard about the first press conference today, but apparently Gino was asked, was reminded of a Boston Globe reporter who wrote apparently yesterday or today that UConn basketball is bad for the sport, and he took off almost the entire press conference on that angle. You as a coach, when you see the dominance and people saying it's a foregone conclusion that they're going to win, that it's not a good sport, what your reaction to that?
I'm sure he has a better angle on that than I do. I think we all need to get more competitive. I think we all know that in women's basketball. We know that parity is a great thing. What happened on Friday is a great thing for our game. Players just have to continue, and I think I've heard some coaches talk about this year. Players need to get in the gym. We all need to get better and continue to try to grow the game, period. So I don't really think he has a better take on that than I do.
All right. That that woman that was commenting in the other half of that recording was Karen Austin, the Texas Longhorn women's basketball coach, when she was asked about it. What's your thoughts on that, Jeff? You think women's basketball is worse off with UConn doing what they do?
I don't think so. And I've heard some of the discussion, and one thing I didn't hear, somebody might have said it, but I didn't hear it, is, you know, you probably remember this. I caught the very end of it. When UCLA was absolutely, I don't even know if dominating is the word, they were devastating the men's game from the mid-60s to the mid-70s. You know, you were just a little pup back then. You know, I was like, you know, a toddler towards the end of that. right? I mean, it was insane. I mean,
right.
When did they win? Like 10 out of 12 championships? It was unheard of. And
right.
I don't think maybe anybody ever said, oh, they hurt college basketball, because it was very popular then, and it stayed very popular. Now, I'm curious. Now, the thing is, one of the big differences between the women's college and the men's college game is that the women stay for 4 years and the men's stars don't. But
right.
When you got a stacked UConn team, how do you get top stars to commit? I guess you could say, well, you might not play a lot your first year or two, but you'll be playing with the best, and then, you know, you're gonna rock your third and fourth year. But there's a lot of other places where, you know, young woman could go and start right off the bat and, you know, and be a focal point, you know. But, like, UCLA did the same thing. And back then in the men's game, teams were allowed more scholarships, and they said UCLA would stockpile guys just to keep them away from opponents. And one of the examples of that was during Bill Walton's tenure, and that was a very different era. You know, I mean, he played – I don't think he was eligible to play as a freshman, because back then I think that was before freshmen were. But, you know, he played at least 3 years there. And I don't know if you remember this. His backup was Sven Nader.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And who went on to be a very good NBA center. And Nader barely played at UCLA because Walton was a great college player, and the college game was more conducive to him because he didn't have the physical constitution for the NBA with longer games, season more than twice as long, and the more physical play. He just wasn't cut out for the NBA. But for college, he was one of the all-time great big men. And those UCLA teams were stacked, and nobody said they ruined the game. I mean, maybe a few, you know, sour grapes, you know, whoever else was in the Pac-8 at the time, you know. you know, in another comparison, I mean, when Mike Tyson was running roughshod over the heavyweight division, you know, he helped the sport because he gave it a face. And when you have a Goliath, you know, a Tiger Woods or whatever, or, you know, somebody that dominant, a lot of people are watching to see him. And then there's a lot of people watching hoping they'll lose, you know. I guess the problem with UConn is it's such a slim chance they're going to lose because, let's say, sometimes people want to watch to see Duke or Kentucky lose, but and they lose once in a while. You know, UConn, they almost never lose. So, but I really don't think it's bad. I don't think you can – I mean, you can't prove it. And it's funny. You want to talk about Duke, you know, they're a team that people feel strongly about one way or the other. I tell you, I was disappointed with Coach K because he got busted lying. I mean,
yep.
Believe me, it's nothing in the big picture. If that's the worst thing he ever did, you know, he's a heck of a guy. But considering all his success, all his smarts, all his maturity, he should have known better. You know, I'm not sure why he did it. And you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yep. Yes, I am.
I mean, I was shocked. I'm not a huge K fan, but I respect the guy, you know. I was just like, huh? And to me, believe me, if I was the kid who he said that to, I would be flattered that K even knew my name. You know what
right.
I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'd be like, oh, my God, he knows my name and took the time to say something to me? I'd be like, yes, sir. I mean, I'd be like, I'm sorry, sir. It won't happen again. I'd be like, could you sign this before you go? I'd be in awe of that guy. I don't say that about a lot of people, but when it comes to college coaching, you know, you're making a Mount Rushmore. K is going to be on it, you know, up there with Wooden and K's mentor, who he had a falling out with, Bob Knight, a couple others. Boom, you know, that's your Mount Rushmore of college coaching.
Yes, sir. All right. Speaking of basketball, Jeff, I'm going to transition over to men's basketball and in particular men's pro basketball, where there's two, I don't know which one's more controversial because I'll go to the light one first and then we'll deal with the heavy one after that. One of the things, now this is the, not the NBA Basketball Hall of Fame. This is the Basketball Hall of Fame in general, if I'm not mistaken, that Yao Ming is one of the players that is nominated to be a for the Hall of Fame. And Jalen Rose, and I imagine there's some other ones out there. Yao Ming didn't have a long career, and it was filled with injuries, and that's really shortened his career. And there's some, I guess, talk of whether when he was playing, if he played at a Hall of Fame level, and does that warrant him going into the Basketball Hall of Fame? Jalen Rose, I wouldn't say vehemently, but strongly suggested, absolutely no way. Can't see a reason why he'd be inducted. I think the reason why he was nominated in the first place was the international committee, not the, I guess, the American committee, whatever it is. And that's how he is eligible to be inducted into the Basketball Hall of Fame. In my opinion, he's a nice player, but I don't think he's the type of player that should be inducted into the Hall of Fame. Now, he may get there, he may not, but it's a strong suggestion that he will because of the international tie, him being from China. But in my opinion, no way, no how should he be into the Hall of Fame. And I think they're supposed to announce the inductees on Monday, if I'm not mistaken. This Monday coming up. What's your thoughts?
You know, I think it's debatable, and I'm not sure of the exact criteria for the Basketball Hall of Fame, because sometimes when you're talking about, let's say, music groups or music solo artists, sometimes it's not just the sales, it's the influence. So I don't know if they could take Ming's influence into consideration. And he was excellent when healthy. And, you know, like, I mean, he wasn't quite this good, but, I mean, hey, look at in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, which is not the NFL Hall of Fame, it's the Pro Football Hall of Fame. It's a separate entity from the NFL, even though 99% of that place is about the NFL. Gale Sayers had a short career, and he's in the Hall, you know? And occasionally, guys with short careers, if they are dominant, can make a Hall of Fame. And I guess it's up to the voters and, you know, and what the criteria are. And I guess one thing in his favor, I don't know if they're allowed to include it. I mean, influential. And, you know, the NBA loved him because they really wanted to get into, you know, the Asia market, especially China, where he's from. And I remember when he came into the league, I saw him. I didn't see much of him. I'm thinking he's going to be the next Sean Bradley. And he was much more than that. So not merit a Hall of Fame induction, but, you know, just, you know, unfortunately, it's a shame he couldn't stay healthier, because if he could, it's a big if, there wouldn't be a debate.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. But assuming he's inducted into the Hall of Fame, he'll be among the modern inductees with the shortest NBA careers. Just five Hall of Famers who debuted after 1960 have played fewer games than Yao, 486. That's Arvydas Sabonis, Bill Walton, and I'll give you the numbers. I'll start from the bottom. Drazen Petrovic with 290 games, Sarunas Marcelonis with 363, Ralph Sampson, I thought he played more than that, but he only played 456, Bill Walton, 468, Arvydas Sabonis, 470, and Yao Ming with 486. But 486, well, like I said, who debuted after 1960, have played fewer games than Yao Ming, who's 486. So,
Sampson and Walton were great college players. So,
yes,
that gets considered. I don't know if Yao Ming's career in China gets considered. So, you know, like a lot of things, you got to get all the facts.
Well, I mean, like I said, in my opinion, he doesn't deserve it, but there's a strong possibility that he will go into the Basketball Hall of Fame. Now, that's not the NBA Hall of Fame. That's the Basketball Hall of Fame. It's two different entities. I just wanted to put that out there. Speaking of, now let's get to the real juicy thing here. It seems like the Lakers can't get a break. Besides, as bad as they've been playing, and the fact is that this is Kobe Bryant's swan song and season, and after this, that he no longer will be playing for the Lakers. He'll be watching him and commenting on him, what have you. The supposedly roommates, best buddies, or whatever you want to call them, have an issue now. Young rookie, number two pick in the past draft for the NBA, D'Angelo Russell. I think he averages about 14 points a game, something like that. I don't know the other particulars. I can find them, but that's not the point. Rooms with Nick Young, or I guess he's they developed some type of bond. Teammate bond, I should say. We're in a room together, talking man talk, talking, you know, whatever. And Nick Young I think he's 19, 20 years old compared to, not Nick Young, but D'Angelo Russell, 19, 20 years old, something like that. Young kid, and apparently very immature. Video recorded on his phone, Nick Young confessing, talking about his conquests. Swaggy P is his other name, who's engaged to Ziggy Pop. And we're close to tying a knot, if I'm not mistaken. Like their nuptials are supposed to be coming up shortly. I don't know how. I don't know exactly the exact date. But confessed his indiscretions to a fellow teammate who he thought he had the man code in effect. Meaning, you know, I'm talking to you. It gets no further than you. And especially with you not recording it. And then it getting out in social media, and quite naturally, because who's not on social media, especially entertainers and a lot of pro athletes, and quite naturally, like I said, a lot of entertainers, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. It got out, and quite naturally, it was trending, and Azalea Pop saw it and made a comment. And now Nick Young is in trouble with his fiance and is like a pariah in the Lakers locker room. Got booed last night on the home floor of the Lakers, and since apologized, but supposedly his apology wasn't heard by Nick Young. And when Nick Young was approached about on it in a press conference, he said it's between he and I. It's a personal issue that I'm not going to really comment on in front of you guys. Now, I got a 2.5-minute clip from First Take that Stephen A., I think he most eloquently puts it. I'm going to play that. And then, Jeff, I want you to give me your comments and thoughts on Mr. D'Angelo Russell and his bright idea of doing what he did.
Stephen A., what kind of damage will this do to Russell's career?
Irreparable damage. He'll never be trusted ever again in the NBA. This will stay with him for the rest of his career. Could he potentially go on and play? Sure. He's got to elevate his level of play. He's got to average more than 13 points a game. He's got to average more than 3.4 assists per game. He's got to shoot better than 41% from the field. There's no question about it. But if there was ever a priority placed on his career in terms of him needing to elevate himself to superstar status, it would be right now, because that's about the only thing that will make you want to be around him. Let me put this in its proper perspective for the American public to stomach. I am a reporter, and even I don't want to talk to him. I mean, you got to be kidding me. I mean, to sit up there and exercise that level of a violation. Now, I understand everybody talking about it's not a man code. It's an everybody code because women have certain codes. Well, damn it, I'm a man. I'm only talking for me. Molly, you can feel free to speak for the women anytime you want to.
As a man,
you don't do that. Under no circumstances do you infiltrate yourself into somebody else's business and discuss or reveal their private personal affairs, particularly when it comes to women. You turn the other way. You didn't see. You saw no evil. You heard no evil. You know no evil. Shut the hell up. Mind your business. Step off and move on. And I don't want to hear all of this stuff about you. Okay, he's 20 years old. You're 13 years old, you know better. You're 10 years old, you know better. I don't care how young you are. You the second you get a scintilla of sense, you know not to do this. So the fact that he would do this just shows that he is completely untrustworthy, incredibly immature. It was a juvenile, punkish mood of the highest order. You cannot trust this young man after this. This is one of those situations where the Lakers got to contemplate trading him. This is one of those situations where his agent needs to contemplate dropping him so he doesn't lose other clients. I mean, the money he may have ended up costing himself just because of this.
Yep.
This is how bad this is. You do not do what this man did under no circumstances.
Right.
It's as egregious as it gets.
And then before you comment, Jeff, Michelle Beadle, I think, on Sports Nation said that why isn't anybody talking about Nick Young and his cheating ways versus
Wait a minute. Let me finish.
Let me finish. And then I'll give you the floor. His cheating ways instead of lambasting and making a pariah of D'Angelo Russell. Your thoughts. Take all the time you need to bring it out.
Man. All right. But, I mean, D'Angelo Russell is beneath my contempt. Michelle Beadle doesn't get it. And you know what? And it's not a guy code. It's a human code. Because this reminds me a little of, back in the late 90s, former President Clinton, when he was still in office, you know, he was fooling around with an intern, Monica Lewinsky. And this woman, Bud, if you remember, this woman, what was her name? Linda Tripp, I think was her name. Buddied up to Monica Lewinsky, you know, a young woman, an intern,
mm-hmm.
having an affair
mm-hmm.
with the president. And buddied up with her so she could tape the phone conversations, which included her conversations about her relationship with the president. And you know what? Okay, the president fooled around with his wife. Whoop-de-doo. Business, you know, that's a personal
mm-hmm.
matter, and you know, I'm not a rabbi, I'm not a priest, even if I was, that's up to the boss, if you believe in him, that's not up to me, you know, what do they say, you know, Christian people, judge not, and ye shall not be judged, so, you know what, okay, President Clinton cheated on his wife, hey, not my business, I'm not saying I approve, not my business, you know, so also sometimes some marriages, you know, they got an agreement, an understanding or whatever. I don't know. Not my business. And that's a personal matter. And I remember thinking, you know, I can't say, oh, I would never cheat on my wife. But I remember thinking to myself with this Linda Tripp thing, I would never buddy up with somebody for the purpose of recording a phone conversation. You don't do that. You know, you just don't do it. And then that woman, she looked like a dog, like, I don't know if you're familiar with the breed, a Lhasa Apso, like a really ugly-looking dog. And she has this press conference, and she's saying, I'm just like you. And I said, no, you're not just like me, because I wouldn't do a friend like that, you know. I mean, I wouldn't piss on D'Angelo Russell if he was on fire. I mean, when he comes into a game, fans should turn around. You know, if he walks into a Starbucks, they should just say, you know, no, we're not serving you. Get out. You know, I'm not kidding. And you know, it's funny. You hear about these one and done, you know, black maturity. You know, this is an example. But you know what? I mean, there's no excuse for it. I'd love to hear his side. How it happened, why it happened. You know what I'm saying? Like, because
mm-hmm.
I can't think of any plausible explanation. Now, all right, I'm going to do this. I don't like doing it, but I'll bash on some of these youngins, you know, the millennials. But sometimes I call them the gimp generation because some
mm-hmm.
of these young cats just don't get it, you know,
right.
Because they can't take a poop without putting it on social media. Well, no, first they got to ask mom and dad. And then they got to post it on social media. And right. some of these clowns, it's like, hey, I just did 10 tequila shots. Hey, let's put it on Facebook. Duh. Hey, I just smoked a joint. Let's put it on Facebook. You know, I just did whatever. I mean, they're cripples, you know. They're goddamn cripples. Like another one, they're not all like that. I got a young cousin who's a real nice guy. He's not like that, you know. But and I'm not just saying it because he's family. But like, you know, like this idiot man, you know, Johnny Manziel, you know, he goes to a party with his idiot friends. They don't realize, hey, you know, if this gets posted, he'll get in trouble. Everybody turn off the camera. Nope.
Yeah, nope.
These guys can't take a poop without filming it. And they don't get it, and they never will. And it's a different generation because, you know, people my age, a lot of us, you know, we walked to school by ourselves and maybe with a friend or two. We came home by ourselves frequently
right.
to an empty house. Maybe
right.
we could have used more supervision, but at least we learned to be independent. You know,
right.
what I mean? We learned how to handle our own business and not to cry to mommy and daddy all goddamn day long, you know, and not
mm-hmm.
to share your business with the whole planet, you know.
Yep.
I think that might be part of it. And, you know, I mean, believe me, at this point, I don't even think the Globetrotters would want D'Angelo Russell, you know. It's like, because he's, you know, and it doesn't matter if the guy was cheating. I mean, I'm not saying it's good, but that's not my business. You know what? Does that justify it? No, of course
right.
not.
Right,
but
exactly.
What was this punk trying to prove? I mean, I'm not kidding. I think in the NBA world, which, you know, I'm not privileged to, you know, the inside, this is worse than being gay. You know, because if he's
yeah.
a gay dude, you figure, well, you know, if he's a decent player, he's an okay guy, he doesn't bother me, all right, whatever. You know, at least he's not screwing you over like this cat, you know.
Yep.
Yeah,
I
love this kind of scum. I mean, worse than a drug dealer, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I watched, where was I at? Was it NFL Live? I think it was NFL Live. I couldn't able to sleep, and I caught NFL Live early this morning, real early this morning. And one of the guys on there, like, you know, they have NFL Live besides having the commentator, and I can't remember his name now, but they have Jeff Saturday, they have Jerome Bettis, and I forget the linebacker from the Giants. I forget his name off the top of my head. Antonio Pierce. Thank you, Jeff. And I'm going to read you something. And I got to believe it. And as Jeff Saturday was saying this, both Antonio Pierce and Jerome Bettis were either smiling or shaking their head, acknowledging everything he was saying. If this happened, and this is a quote from Jeff Saturday, if this happened in an NFL locker room, I would be shocked if there wasn't a physical altercation of some sort. I definitely don't agree with Young doing whatever he's doing, but as a teammate and as a friend, my expectation is that you come to me first. I would have never have expected it to end up on social media. We have rules that everyone abides by as a team, and this is our family away from our family, and we have to treat it like that. There are things that happen in your family and in your home that you wouldn't want broadcast on social media. There are conversations that you don't want everyone in America knowing. You have to be able to have that trust amongst your teammates. And there's another thing here, and I'm not excusing him, but this is a quote from Byron Scott, the Lakers coach, about D'Angelo Russell. He's such a kid. I told him the other day, you're 19, but sometimes I think you're 14. I don't know, man. I'm surprised that he didn't get his so to speak, his ass whooped real quick by more than one guy in that locker room.
You
I'm pretty
what?
Sure.
This,
go ahead.
this guy, I mean, nobody on the team is going to talk to him. That's even worse. You get your ass kicked.
Right.
If it's not that bad, it's over with pretty quick. I mean, you know, as long as it's not too bad. But when nobody's going to talk to this guy, they travel a lot. I mean, the season's close to being over. But believe me, if you go on a week-long road trip and nobody says a word to you, that's a long road trip. I mean, nobody's going to eat with him on the road. Nobody's going to talk to him in the locker room, at practice, et cetera, et cetera. And persona non grata, that's the Latin term, you know, and it's
right.
Like a lot of Latin terms are used in English, and you sound smart if you use them. So that's what he is. I mean, he's worse than a drug dealer, not as bad as a child molester. I mean, he's in bad company. And, you know, I wouldn't give this guy the time of day. And believe me, you know, and he's probably, you know, he's a little punk. He's probably crying his eyes out. Good. Serves him right. And being shunned, being ignored, he's probably, you know, the most hated man in America. That's worse than getting, you know, your butt kicked. I mean, gee, look at the Jets. Geno
Smith.
Stiff the
Geno
linebacker
Smith.
At $600 yep. bucks and got his jaw broke. I mean,
yep.
The Angelo Russell, I mean, he should be in a coma, not for what he did. If
yep.
you're going to grade it on that scale, you know, I mean, this is $600 is pocket change for these cats, you know. But I don't know if there was character issues earlier and, you know, they try to get to know these guys. But, you know, this is a snot-nosed little punk. And, like, he's probably balling right now. And it's the end of the season. It's going to be miserable for him. And you know, when he goes to a new team, nobody's going to want to, you know, give him the time of day because, you know, NBA is a small league, you know.
Yep.
And
news travels.
Might have to go overseas or something, you know. And even then, you know, it's a small world, you know.
Yeah, man. He's going to have to – I don't know if he's ever going to come back from this one, man. This is like, you know, wow. This is extremely low down and dirty type of thing that you would do to a teammate. And if he stays on this team, quite naturally, there's going to be a lot of turnover on the Lakers. But whoever comes in fresh from another team or from wherever to this team is going to know ahead of time because it's all over. No one could not know what took place this past season. With the Lakers, especially with this kid, and come into this situation and really have nothing to do with this kid, for the simple fact is, he may be a teammate, but it's the type of teammate and you have to put this in perspective. A teammate in quotation marks. He may be a teammate in name, but you can't trust this guy because. What he did supposedly to a close teammate, somebody who's supposed to be a friend of his or whatever, and he decided to put him really on blast, I mean blast it out there. And the fact is, I saw something, Jeff, that and I'm trying to fathom. I think he said to me he doesn't know how it got out, which – I find that very hard to believe because he's the one who had made the video. He's the one who had it on his device, wherever, whatever device it was, whether it's on a pad or it was on his phone. And it had to come from him because the fact is he's the only one who had it at the time. So, he's since apologized. I think he's apologized over and over tenfold, but that's not going to help him because once something, the trust is broken like that, it's going to be tough for this guy to come back from it. All right, we got about 15 minutes left, and I want to move the conversation from the hardwood to the gridiron, and two controversial players, and it seems like this controversy day today, one coming from the West Coast and the other one coming from the East Coast. And let me tell you, who would I want to talk about first? Let's talk about this one first. We didn't get a chance to talk about it last week, so I'm going to bring it up this week. RG3 is when he first came into the league. Now he's Robert Griffin III, basically. And he's moved over to a head coach slash offensive coordinator that I really am a fan of. There's a few offensive coordinators that I'm really a fan of and try to, in fantasy, gather their players because of the fact is their schemes and they're innovative and they get the most out of their players. And he's moved over to the Cleveland Browns under the tutelage right now of Hugh Jackson as the head coach. In my opinion, one of the better offensive-minded coaches slash quarterback guru in the league. I've gotten the best out of Andy Dalton, has gotten Joe Flacco, because when he was with the Baltimore Ravens, had 1 year, which I still say he got shafted when he was with the Oakland Raiders with Carson Palmer. And now he's with the Cleveland Browns. They were looking for a quarterback. They still may take one in the draft, but they scooped up Robert Griffin III, along with Pep Hamilton and Tom House. All those guys have very good history in tutoring and mentoring a quarterback. And if Robert Griffin III, in my opinion, takes to it, and supposedly he came in very humble when he got his interview to whatever it was before they signed him, takes to the coaching, because Hugh Jackson don't play. Hugh Jackson tells you like it is every day, all day. And if you don't like it, too bad, but this is the way it is. And then with Pep Hamilton and Tom House trying to resurrect this guy's career, what's your thoughts? So Robert Griffin III going to Cleveland, and what's his possibility of resurrecting his career going back somewhat to his ways when he first came into the league as a rookie?
You know, it's worth a shot. I think this might be a good place for him. I mean, I know there's been issues with, now he's RG Clee because he's in Cleveland. There's been issues with him. But, you know, he's in a whole much higher class than Manziel. And for several reasons, I mean, at least, you know, okay. You could say sometimes RG3 was a brat. Yeah, a brat. Manziel was an idiot. You know, there's a big difference, you know, because RG3 stays off the police blotters, you know.
Exactly.
Well, the difference. And this is trivial. This doesn't have to do with his game, but sometimes a player like RG with a lot of, you know, comes in the league with a lot of hype and whatever, you know, you talk about things besides his game. He needs a new haircut. I don't have a problem with his haircut. I used to have long hair. It wasn't braids like him, but I had long hair. And some people, they just can't get past the long hair. It's like, I'll tell you, my uncle was cool with it, and I knew he was always a guy who hated long hair. But at least
okay.
He didn't start crapping on me. I knew he didn't like the hair, but he still liked me. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Once in a while, if you get long, you grow your hair out, you see somebody you haven't seen in a couple of years, they act like you got the cooties. You know?
Right.
I don't get that. You know? And the only reason I feel bad even mentioning his hair, because I don't have a problem with that hairstyle, but you know, sometimes, hey, new city, new look. And I don't know if that hairstyle fits his image. I mean, the guy, he's from a military family, and he's Republican. Mm-hmm. That doesn't scream out long braids, you know? I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Sure, I understand exactly what you're saying.
I swear to God, if I was in his ear, I'd say, hey, you know, what do you think? Maybe a new city, new look, new leaf, whatever. I mean, he keeps it up. You know, it's not like it's, you know, it's a bad hairstyle, but I think he's due for a new look, you know. A minor thing, but, you know, the thing is, Cleveland, those fans are hungry, you know. To put it mildly, if, you know, he might not be ready at the start of the season, but, you know, if he wins a few games, you know, they don't want to make him the mayor, you know. So in that respect, you know, that could be a good place for him. And, you know, I think Hugh Jackson seems pretty smart, and the smart coaches like the Mike Shanahans, they alter their system to fit the skills of the players. And that's, you know, but the thing, the problem with RG is, two things, the big problems in a nutshell is not staying healthy and not developing his pocket passing skills. But hopefully he learned some things last year, and he's going to continue to learn. And I don't know. I think, I'm not going to draft him high in fantasy drafts, even if he's projected as a starter. But who knows? It might not be this year. But I don't know how long the contract's for. But
2 years.
Okay. So, you know, I got nothing against the guy. And you know what I like about him? And this is, you know, I remember when Michael Vick was playing, especially early in his career. When he's on, he's an exciting player. I like guys like that. And I think the league needs guys. You like exciting players, you know? So, in that respect, maybe he's somewhat similar to Vick. And there's a shortage of quarterbacks. And when people talk about expanding the league, I think about, you know, there were some teams like Houston last year who really had a shortage of talent at quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
You don't want, you know, can you imagine adding four teams and spreading out the quarterback and other talent even thinner? And, you know, now with all this concussion stuff, the talent pipeline might not be as stacked as it was in the past. I mean, you know, who knows? In 10 years, you know, it could be a lot less talent coming into the league. I'll tell you, you know, I wish they wouldn't have closed down the NFL Europe, because that was a good way to develop quarterbacks. But, you know, they didn't want to pay for it. It didn't seem like much money. But, you know, hey, they don't like losing any money on anything. That's why they're billionaires, you know.
That's true.
You know, and this was a real low-budget league. It was 16 small rosters, low salaries. Nope. You know, it was an investment. You know, nope. They didn't want to do it. So, and believe me, Kurt Warner played in NFL Europe. Jake Delhomme. I think those are two of the bigger name guys. But you know, because it was always, you know, with a lot of these quarterbacks, well, we want a guy with experience. Well, how do you get him the experience? So it was tough for guys, you know, who were lower on the depth chart to get real experience, and they never should have shut that league down.
Speaking of money, when I say 11.9, what comes to mind? A enigma, a troubled quarterback that wants to get out of the Bay Area to wherever. But as of today, after 4 o'clock today, is guaranteed $11.9 million. And I'm talking about Colin Kaepernick. And even though Chip Kelly and Trent Baalke and the rest of the organization have said that they want to keep Colin Kaepernick, He's stuck to his guns, and probably tried talking to him or talking to their agent to try to convince him to change his mind. He's still the property, and I hate to say it like that, but he is still the property of the San Francisco 49ers. And as of now, like I said, $11.9 million guaranteed for a quarterback that for the majority of last season sat on the bench and never got into a game after Blaine Gabbert took over the starting role. And new coach, everybody in God's country think that this coach, Chip Kelly, and Colin Kaepernick are a perfect match together, except for Colin Kaepernick and his agent, who they want out. And I can't blame the guy. I understand he'd get $11.9 million. I understand that he got benched for ineffective play, but as a player, and when you have the coach that he had last year and the situation that was took place after they got rid of Jim Harbaugh for the most part, even though he left, it's pretty much they pushed Harbaugh out the door, who was a successful coach in San Francisco, but there was a power play that Jim Harbaugh wasn't going to win, so they pushed him out and brought in Jim Tomsula, who was ineffective as a head coach, and then they got Chip Kelly, who got pushed out of Philadelphia to take the head coaching role and to mind his business anywhere else. That's basically how I think that's what they told him. You're going to be a coach, and we're going to pick the players, and that's it. Colin Kaepernick, with the circumstances that took place last year and probably over a few years, didn't want any part of it this year and wanted out. Now, there's still probably a chance that he'll get traded. I don't know how, with $11.9 million price tag on him now. Not knowing if he can be an effective quarterback because the way things took place last year, if he's going to stay with San Francisco, is he going to go to another team like the Denver Broncos? Who knows? Is he going to be a trade chip near the draft time? Who knows? What's your thoughts, Jeff?
Yeah, I don't understand. I can understand Kaepernick was ticked off that he got benched last year, but that the coach who benched him is gone. So I'm curious if Chip KKK Kelly tried to reach out to him.
Wow.
You know, well, you know they said those things about him.
Yes,
and,
I know. Yes, I know.
A lot of circumstantial stuff.
Yep.
If it was true, if they could ever prove it, it would end his career. See, I don't know. Kaepernick is mixed. I don't know how he feels about mixed guys, and I think he was raised by whites, so maybe Kelly might like him, you know.
Oh, wow.
No, I remember, like, when it came up the first time when they were talking about, you know, but you know, it was just like a lot of circumstantial evidence. You know, he let go a lot of good black players, but percentage-wise, what, you know, 70%? But the NFL's black, so if you let players go, there's a high percentage they're going to be black. But who do they extend? Riley Cooper, who stinks and had that racist rant. It's like, that doesn't make any sense. He's like the one guy they extended who eventually they did cut, you know.
Right.
But that was after they canned Kelly. And somebody said this to me, like, with the Eagles, that they had a lot of, not just white, but other races. Like they had a couple Latin guys, that Native American guy. You know, it's like so basically, you know, he wants to have as many. You know, it looked like you're trying to get as many non-blacks. It's not funny. I don't think they were ever able to prove it. But you know, going back, you know, some of these coaches kind of are. You know, I mean. You know, they'll try to disguise it, you know. But, you know, I mean, it's a lot more on the lower level. But, like, you know, lower levels of football, I swear, I heard so many stories. If you're a white kid in high school, they won't even let you – some of these coaches won't even let you try to be a running back. You know, even if you say, hey, you know, I'm pretty good at running back. Give me a shot. Nope. I mean, Passaic High used to have powerful teams and, you know – the coach would take one look at you and give you a position.
Right.
You know.
I understand. Yep.
Or they didn't even have to look at you sometimes. They'd see your last name on the list, you know. There's a lot of that, you know. It's messed up. And a lot of these coaches, I think the better coaches rise to the top because on the lower levels of coaching – you know, a lot of the high school coaches and, you know, other lower level type coaches, I don't want to knock them because some of them are really good and I don't want to call lower level, but for lack of a better term, winning is not their priority. Their priority, of course, they'd rather win than lose because they're not stupid. But a lot of these cats, their priority is getting their butt kissed, you know, and being right or thinking that they're right. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
And that's the games that these clowns like to play. And usually these aren't the guys who win big and have smarts and make it to college and the pros. Because, you know, the guys who do well are the ones who are all about winning, you know, not getting their butt kissed. Because that's what a lot of these coaches are really into, and it's really sad. And because of that, a lot of people have very negative experiences with sports.
Yep. All right, Jeff, we come to the end of the show. I really appreciate you spending the time with me tonight, and we hashing over a few controversial things and exchanging ideas and thoughts on all these players, I guess, and situations that taking place in basketball and football. People, tune in on Saturday, 1 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, where Vic and I will be on the FSP show. And then also on 10 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday morning, I will be back with the master plan. We're talking baseball. Baseball's right around the corner. First day or night of baseball is the Mets versus Kansas City, which I think takes place on the 4th, which is on Sunday. I'll be talking about that. I'll be talking about a little fantasy baseball and maybe throwing a little football like I always do on my shows, on all the shows, I should say. All right. With that being said, no music played. I'm just going to drop the mic. And Jeff, have a good week. Talk to you next Thursday, if God willing. And we're out. Talk to you. See you.